I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
All right, welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
Today, I thought we could talk a little bit about, cooking utensils, cooking supplies, cooking cookware. I guess I don't know. Whatever that category would be called.
how to cleanly make your food and eat it without putting your grubby hands in it.
Yeah, like what are you taking to cook with, right? Like what are you right. taking to cook with and eat with? That sort of stuff. Not the food itself necessarily, but the right. equipment to take to make food to keep yourself nourished while you're out on the trail.
Right. Whether that's how do you heat it up? What do you put it in? What do you eat it with?
Yeah, because there's that like kind of there's stuff. Lots of options, right? Like, I mean,
oh yeah,
you and I have what we have bought. We've mentioned it in some episodes that we've done. We're going to mention it again here. Kind of what led us to get that equipment. Do we like it or don't like it? To do over again, right. would we get the same thing? Or what are some of the alternatives to what we use that you as a amateur backpacker could get?
Right. So I guess, I'll let you take it up.
Okay. So let's first off, here's where I thought we could start.
Okay.
This is not, it's directly related, but not specifically what we're talking about. But the first thing you're going to have to figure out is what the fuck are you cooking? Right, like
well, right, yeah.
So,
cause, like, if you're just taking trail mix and you just want granola bars, right. like all that kind of stuff, you don't have to take any.
If you're taking pre-smushed peanut butter and jelly, protein bars, yep. and trail mix, you're good to go. You don't need nothing. Right. You don't even need to worry about this. Right. End of episode. Thanks for listening.
let's not encourage skimming.
I mean, if you're you want to take a couple of apples and bananas, and you don't got to cook that,
right?
You yeah. know, so you don't right. got to worry about any of this sort of stuff. But if you want a hot meal mm-hmm. or some sort of, you know, something that's going to take some prep work, how well, are you making
realistically,
that?
Realistically, a lot of that other stuff has more calories like than what you get out of your trail mix or your – and I can only eat so much trail mix, me personally.
I could live off trail mix if I'm being honest.
I know you could. I know you could.
I love me some trail mix.
If you want something that is going to, I'm not going to say remind you of home, because you just left home.
well, but like but a protein bar is going to give you a bunch of calories. It's going to give you a bunch of protein.
Yeah.
I mean, true. You theoretically okay. could pack nothing but protein bars if you wanted to. I feel like you'd get though. Sick of that.
You would get sick of it, and they're heavy. And depending on the kind you get, they're not the easiest thing to chew.
They're not the easiest thing to chew. Okay, and they're heavy, but they're not any heavier than packing all this gear that we pack to cook stuff with. So, I mean, that is an option. You could do it that way. You could live off gummy bears and pumpkin seeds for a few days if you wanted to.
There's an idea. I feel like the gummy worms would just melt together.
Well, so
but that's
you,
an idea.
You get the gummy bear stuck together, that's one gummy bear.
You just bite it like an apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, so that, while not specifically what we're talking about, the first thing is figure out what you are going to take yeah. for food. You know, do you then, want to make, we saw those people in Pictured Rocks last year on our big trip, that those two sisters and the one sister's boyfriend, they brought, like, real food to prepare. They brought, like, I want to say they made, like, a soup.
Yeah, it was, like, Campbell's Chunky or something. Not a sponsor, but...
No, they were cutting up, like, carrots and stuff. I think they made a soup.
Oh, that is right.
Remember they had, like, the canned goods
we found in the bear box. That's right.
Not the canned tuna that we found in the bear box, but same spot. But those hikers, they had, like... they did it differently than we do it. They brought like yogurt and stuff, which how you're keeping yogurt cold on the trail, I'm not entirely sure. None of my business. Worked for them. But they brought like real vegetables and were like cutting up and cooking.
They did disappear into Lake Superior, or well, I don't know that they went to Lake, but they might have tied off their yogurt and threw the canisters into Lake Superior. It's coldest lake in the world, or
okay,
close to.
I mean, I still feel like it probably would have got warm during the day, but I mean, you do you.
I mean, it's just spoiled milk.
It's God, already, it's cheese it's, at that. It's point. Already spoiled. So, what's a little bit of warmth going to do to it? Is that your concept?
Right. It's just cottage cheese at that point. Who cares?
Yeah, well, I like cottage cheese, but I don't like warm cottage cheese.
I don't like any of it.
But yeah, so figure out what you want to bring for your food. And then you want warm food that needs cooked, this is how we do it.
This is, yeah.
And modify it to fit your needs. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that you and I bought, we've mentioned it in other episodes, but I'm going to mention it here. We bought that cook pot, right? So it's a...
You're talking the
Stanley...
The pot, yep.
It's a little... Okay. I believe it's aluminum.
I would assume so.
It's a little kit that I bought at the local Coleman store, I believe, is the one that I bought it at. Not a sponsor. Buy it wherever you want to. Stanley, also not a sponsor. That just happens to be the brand that we bought. Yep. But it's a little... what do you think that is? Two cup? It's probably a two cup pot that has...
I would say... I think it's a 20 ounce, which is, I think, about 2 1/4 or 2 1/2.
Okay. So it's got little nesting plastic cups that go in it. Comes with a little pot lid. It's got a little handle that folds out. It works really well for Mike and I. As we have said before, we primarily take to eat for like real nourishment, not snacks, but like real nourishment when we get to camp. We primarily take...
To make it feel like you had a dinner.
Yeah.
Is more or less why I do it. But.
Well, but so we take those meals ready to eat. Those hikers, meals, dehydrated things. Really, all we are doing is boiling some water for the most part.
Yep.
This pot works really well for that. It fits the right amount of water for those meals.
It has measurements inside so you can see how much. You don't have to take a measuring cup or anything like that. These meals say you need 12 ounces or 11 ounces or however many ounces of water or milliliters. It has those measurements right on the inside.
Yep.
So there's no guesswork. So it really – I'm assuming all of the brands have that, but that's one of the features that I really like about it.
I would assume so too. I'll be honest, when I bought it, I didn't even think of that as being something to look for. I am very glad that this one has it. I would assume most that you buy that are meant for backpacking probably have that.
I'm going to count to 13. That's probably 13 ounces, right?
Right. That's the thing. I mean, I did not specifically buy this one because it had it, but thank goodness it does.
Right. Because, being first-timers, I had no idea. Like, I mean, we tried our MREs before we went out there just to see if the process worked, like, you know, just boiling the water, all that kind of stuff. We kind of tested, but we used a pot from the camper, not the actual cook pot, and we measured the water out. So thank God that it actually has that measurement in there.
Right. But so it does, I mean, like I said, it's got a little lid, it's got a little fold out handle, you know, so you can pick it up. You don't need special gloves, you don't need whatever. So it boils water really nice. I assume you could easily make soup if you brought some sort of soup packet type thing in it. It's a nice little canister. It's like you said, maybe 2 1/2 cups, but it's a good individual size.
The only reason I say it's 2 1/2 because I accidentally over measured my meal the last trip we took, and it ended up being at, I needed 12 ounces, I accidentally did 16 ounces, and that was only about a half away. So 16 ounces would be what, 2 cups?
8 ounces in a cup, 16 would be 2. It's probably 20 ounces.
It's probably 20 ounces. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but like, I'm just going off that. It wasn't like at 16 ounces wasn't overflowing.
Right.
Had it been, I would have known that I overmeasured. But yeah. I had some very soupy mac and cheese the last trip. But
yeah,
that was a human error, not a meal or cook pot error. But so we take that. The thing I really go ahead.
Well, no. So what I was going to say about the only thing that I would say that I don't like about, and maybe this is where you were going too, but so with this pot being aluminum, if you were trying to make like actual food, so like we boil water in it and then we pour that water into a bag.
Right.
If you were cooking actual food in it, like with any aluminum pot and pan, I feel like your stuff on the bottom would probably burn real easy with it being
your made stuff out of would aluminum. Probably burn on the bottom and stick on the sides. Right.
So
at a minimum,
keep that as a thought, you know, like, are you going to be cooking actual food in the pot or are you just going to be boiling water?
Right. So I think we picked this one or you picked this one because the aluminum, knowing we were just going to be boiling water for the most part.
Yep.
And it's lightweight because it's aluminum.
Right. Well, mix that in with also, like, I really didn't know any better at the time.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like it was, it was fairly inexpensive. I want to say I got it on clearance probably because I bought a lot of stuff on clearance when we were starting out. Like it was cheap. That was the main selling point, is it was cheap. I really didn't even think about what material it was made out of. It was just like, oh, okay, here's a pot and it's cheap and I'm going to buy it. So if you're going to be cooking actual food in it, there are similar options for little portable pots made out of either titanium or stainless steel. Both of those have pros and cons. I always like titanium stuff, but titanium is expensive. Like, it just is. So, what's your budget?
It doesn't heat the same as aluminum.
Correct. It doesn't heat the same.
It's an uneven heat.
It's an uneven heat, and I think you're going to wind up with some of the same sort of problems where you're going to get stuff burning in some spots. And
it is ultra lightweight, so it's like even lighter than aluminum. So it's going to weigh less in your pack. But
well, and it's super durable. That's the other good thing about titanium. Yeah. Like, it's not going to get all bent up being knocked around inside your pack.
So it might be a good way to go if all you're doing is boiling water.
Yeah.
It might take longer due to the heat distribution issues, but
yeah, I think it probably heats up pretty well. I think the problem with the heat distribution is that you're getting those burnt spots. I mean, is what I think.
Oh. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not distributing that heat throughout the pot. It's like, it's making hot spots is what I get out of that.
Fair enough. So, like, I guess if it's just water, it's going to be moving around. Okay. Yep. I don't need to.
So then the other alternative then is you get stainless steel, which stainless steel, from my understanding, and I'm not a scientist or an engineer of any sort, but my understanding is stainless steel is pretty good at distributing that heat. You're less likely to get those hot burnt spots,
right?
But because of that heat distribution, I think it takes longer. If you're just boiling water, or if you're cooking something you want at a certain temperature, I think it takes longer to get that stuff hot.
Well, it's just thicker. Like, it just takes longer because it takes longer to heat that metal up.
I think it takes longer to heat that metal up. I don't think it's because it's thicker. I think it's just because it's stainless steel.
Or a different metal.
Yeah, I think it's just a different metal, so it takes longer to get heated up.
It is heavier, though, too.
It is heavier. That's a very good point. It is for sure heavier. So, you know, are you trying to be an
ultralighter? Pros and cons to all of them.
Right. Which you know, it's choose your adventure. Which way do you want to go? What works for what you're wanting to do with it is the big thing. You and I, like we said, and we'll say again, primarily just heating up water. Aluminum works fine for that. We're not cooking actual things in the pot.
Yeah, and I mean, it works great. Well, like that little pot we have made instant coffee with it. You can do so much.
We haven't made instant coffee with the pot. We've boiled water.
Well, we boiled water with the pot. Okay. I mean, realistically, that's all we use it for. But at the same time, if our water filter, we have a whole other episode coming about water, but if our water filter were to fail us for whatever reason,
right,
we have this pot that can boil water.
Right.
And then we can put that in another bottle and then let that cool, and there you go. It's not a dirty, doesn't have like rice or soup or whatever.
Right. And you don't, with the way that we do it, you don't got to worry about washing it out. Just got water in it. So
we did camp with some people last year and pictured rocks. And we keep bringing up these few trips because that's all we've done. So, if you're bored of us talking about those trips, I'm sorry. We will do more.
Yeah.
So last year we ran into these people that they were making real deal soups and teas and like all this stuff right in their pots. But then they had to go down to the lake or go somewhere and figure out a way to wash it out. And, well, there's less waste in that, I guess. It's so much more work on the trail when you're really trying to just enjoy yourself. I don't want to have to be cleaning and doing all this extra crap.
Well, and that maybe like kind of nicely segues into the next thing that I have on my list, which is kind of utensil related. Those sisters that we were talking about earlier, if that worked for them, that's great. Good for you. I'm happy for you. If you had a great meal and had to wash out your pot and you're fine with that, and that's the type of hiker you want to be, by all means, please do.
Whiskey, and they seemed jealous of that.
But then you got to bring, so they were like making stuff. So now you're bringing, on top of bringing a pot to cook in and needing to wash out and all that sort of stuff, they also brought a knife and a plate and like had to cut up the stuff and had to make a plan for hiking out with their, like, literally at one point they were peeling carrots. And again, I'm not trying to say that they were doing it wrong and we were doing it right, but like, okay, so now you got all these carrot peels that you've got to hike out with or make a plan for. And you've had to bring, you had to bring some sort of utensil that could stir the soup as you're making it. And they weren't all eating out of the pot. So they had brought bowls with them to, you know, so like there's more utensils that you need to bring if you're doing it that way. And again, if that's what you want to do, do that.
Yeah.
By all means. Well, but there is a lot more work and you're carrying a lot more stuff with you.
Yeah. And if you're sitting there listening to this and you're saying, well, it's just carrot peels, it's just this, whatever, you can just throw that in the fire,
or
just put that back out in the woods because it's all natural. It's going back to nature. That's not necessarily natural to that part of the woods. And those animals are not used to digesting that. So therefore, that could wreak havoc on their whole system, and you could cause some animal a lot of distress or whatever.
I mean, for our quick little leave no trace portion of the episode, if you pack it in, pack it out. Like don't throw them down in the toilet tank. Don't bury them.
Right.
It's like if you're hiking that in, make a plan to hike it out with you.
Yep.
That's the whole point.
Yep. Yeah. Just because it's natural somewhere doesn't mean it's natural to where you're hiking.
That's the thing. I mean, you and I talked about, you know, before we knew better, you know, the sunflower seed thing, right?
Yep.
Like, you like sunflowers. And you would think.
I was disappointed, but I don't take them with me.
Think, well, it's all natural. It's a pumpkin seed shell. Just, like, spit it out.
It's biodegradable. It's going to.
I have been guilty of thinking that. Like, I get that line of thought. It's not the right line of thought. And until somebody tells you it's not the right line of thought, you don't know any better. So, like, I'm not trying to harp on it too much. But all that stuff's got to be hiked out with you.
Yep. So. Yep. Okay. So off our soapbox.
Off our soapbox. But so anyway, so you and I do bring like a pocket knife with us, but we don't bring like a cooking knife to like be cutting stuff up for dinner and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, again, do what works for you. just know that if you're going to do it that way, you're going to have to figure out a way to clean it, and that's going to be extra right. weight in your pack, and there's all that stuff that goes into it too. So just make a plan for that portion as well. Yep. So with utensils, one thing that you and I do bring that I am in love with that you found and have been kind enough to share with me is our sporks.
Yep. I actually
love our sporks.
I do wish they were a little longer.
But that is the only complaint that I have about them.
That is literally the only complaint. But just the versatility and the durability of these little things is amazing.
Here's I guess I have two complaints about them. So they could be a little bit longer. The handle could be a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Because they're real short. What do you think they are, like, in total? 5 inches long? You got a spoon on one end.
Yeah.
They got a fork slash one tongue serrated on the other end. Yep. They're probably 5 inches long altogether. Super nice. Love them. Could be a little bit longer because when you get down into your meals ready to eat, they're not quite long enough. You wind up reaching your hand on the bag. The other thing that I don't love but I get is they're plastic.
Yeah.
So, like,
They're not single use plastic.
No, they're reusable plastic. But if we needed to, I'm not sure if they would stand up to boiling water, is I guess where I'm going with this. Like, if we were doing something in our pot, which I know we don't, but if we were, I don't know if they would hold up to the boiling water.
I have like 6 of them. We could test that.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true. We could test it, but.
Like, but at the same time, they hold up to boiling adjacent water because you take the boiling water, pour it in the bag, stir it. So it's not that many degrees
off of
boiling.
Sure. That's fair. Good point.
So I would assume, and they hold up to my dishwasher. I mean, that's not boiling water, but that's like hot water. They don't warp.
How hot is your water heater set? It shouldn't be that hot.
Well, so I have the hot water running to the dishwasher, and then we also have the water heater on the dishwasher.
Oh, no. That's too hot, friend. Conserve energy, my friend. Turn that water heater down.
You got to steam that shit.
Okay. That's a different conversation. That's a different podcast. That's our conservation podcast.
That's our we don't know what we're doing in our house either podcast.
Okay, so fine. So maybe they're strong enough to hold up to boiling water. So maybe that's not a legitimate gripe about them. I do wish they were a little bit longer, though.
Yeah. I have thought about and I have seen similar things at the stores and haven't pulled the trigger on purchasing them because they don't look to be the quality of what we have. And I want to say, realistically, we bought so many of these damn things thinking like, I'm going to use, if we're going to go for a 3-night trip, I'm going to use one in the morning, one at night, one in the morning, one at night, one in the morning, one at night. And it turns out I just used the same one. Well, that's what I thought I was going to do.
Turns out I just lick it clean and shove it back in my bag.
Now I take 2. And that's because just in case I drop one in the dirt.
Right.
Like, and if I drop one in the dirt, I have sandy wipes, so I probably don't even need to take the second one. But maybe it's just in case I lose one. I don't know. But when I'm done with it after the first night, it goes in its own little separate little baggie, and that stays in its own little separate spot. So it's sanitary,
yeah,
without being sanitary.
Sanitary in quotes, right? Air quotes around sanitary.
It's deep woods sanitary.
Yeah, it's backcountry sanitary where nothing is truly sanitary and it's all a little bit gross. So we're gonna agree to look past it.
We would never do that at home, but in the backwoods, it's okay.
Exactly. So, I mean, you could take a separate spoon, fork, knife combo. I've seen those. You know, you go to the military surplus store or your local sporting goods store and they make the little, they clip together fork, knife,
spoon
separately. I don't know. I like the spork. It's easy.
Yeah. Well, like you said, it like one end is a spoon and the other end is everything else. And I realistically just utilize the spoon end of it with most of the meals that I eat with, even if it's something you got to get a little stabby with. It's most of it ends up a little soupy.
Yeah.
So you end up trying to get some of that moisture and everything, just scoop everything up.
Yeah.
So, I guess that said, if you want something a little bit longer, they do make the little retractable things.
Yep.
Retractable forks.
Yep.
And spoons and stuff like that. You could get those. But like I said, ours are like an all-in-one deal and I really like them.
I mean, realistically, if we didn't have these little sporks, I kind of like those retractable ones.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would consider getting those. Those seem cool. Those seem nice, you know.
Yeah.
Packs up real small, but extends to be longer, which we're saying we don't like that ours are short. I mean,
that's so these little things I can't even remember where I stumbled upon these things. We were shopping for something completely not hiking, backpacking related, and it was in a store not even backpacking or whatever related. And I just...
It's probably TJ Maxx or some nonsense.
No, it was down at the... it was down at the outlets in Birch Run.
Okay.
But so it was some store there. It wasn't the Coleman outlet. It wasn't the Levi outlet. Any of like, it wasn't North Face, anything like that. You know what it was? It was Pyrex. It was the freaking Pyrex outlet. We were getting lids for some of our glass things, and we walked in there, and they were sitting right by the counter.
Are these Pyrex sporks that we're taking?
They might be Pyrex.
Oh, they probably are boilable then.
Again, Pyrex, not a sponsor.
Right. But they make pretty good stuff. So
that's what it was.
If they're Pyrex brand, they're probably boilable.
So I stand corrected. But yeah, so I stumbled upon these things, and I was just like, and I think they had them up there for like $1.99 a piece. And I was just like, well, I'm going to grab six of those.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been using ever since. And, like I said, we have the one negative is that they're just not long enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So keep that in mind.
Doable, workable. I mean, we've used them for 100%. What 4 years now. Like they're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's not like my hands are getting covered with food or anything like that. It's just that you have to dig down a little bit. But the start of your meal is at the top of the bag, so you're not getting in.
Right.
It's just as you eat food,
you're
digging down a little bit deeper.
The only thing, I don't want to backtrack, but I want to go back to knives for a minute, because we kind of brushed over that, like, because we take a pocket knife, not that we use it for cooking, but one thing I do want to point out about knives, and I shouldn't need to say this, but I also feel the need to say this, is if you are taking some sort of knife for cooking reasons, it needs
that's
to be in some,
for?
Well, A, that's what it's used for, but also... You probably want to have some sort of sheath to it. You know, just want some knife hanging out in your bag, stabbing you randomly or cutting your stuff.
Well, I mean, unless it's your multi-tool knife or
for
whatever.
Sure. If it folds into its own thing and makes it not pointy and stabby, for sure. But if you are taking like a specific cooking utensil knife.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Have it sheathed in something so that it doesn't
stabby. Like some kind of a folding.
Right.
Whatever, yeah, or like a switchblade type deal,
right? And I didn't even think about it, but you are absolutely right. Use it for food and only food, probably.
Like, don't go out there and like you're gonna start digging with it in the dirt and all that stuff, and then next thing you know, you're trying to cut your food up with it.
Right.
So, I understand we just talked about being gross with our sporks and all that stuff, but also there's a different cross contamination. Of like dirt to food.
Yeah. Well, dirt slash
animal feces, whatever you're digging in. People feces.
People feces, potentially.
So, yeah. So I'm going to backtrack a little bit also and go and say that we talked about boiling water in a pot, but what do you use to boil that water?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah,
what's the heat source?
Yeah, so good. So, yeah, good. I mean, I was going to get there at one point or another, so this is a fine spot to put it as any.
Sure you were. I feel like you just glazed right over it.
I'm going to let you start that conversation because you are the one that got our stove. Yep. Talk us through that and why you bought that one.
So we have we have mentioned it in other episodes, but if you're new to this, we have the Coleman Peak one, not a sponsor. It's not the lightest weight of camp stoves, but at the same time, it's very small. Look, there are smaller ones I've seen online, but I can't find them, and they are they don't look as sturdy. But this thing has the three little prongs that fold out. You connect it to a butane canister. Choose your size, but for your length of trip. But you hook it up to the butane canister. It has a little nozzle so you can turn the gas on. You will need a flame source, so whether it's a lighter, a match, whatever, you will need that. But you light the gas, and you have your little cook pot, and those little prongs that I said come out, those are the legs or the... That's the base for your pot.
Right. It's what you set your pot on.
Yeah. So you want a flat-ish surface to set this on so it doesn't all go toppling over. But in the years we've been doing it, we have not had a problem finding a spot that, or a rock or whatever we can set this thing on. There are a lot of other brands out there that are more... I mean, Coleman's a name brand, but there are, like, quote-unquote backpacking name brand, like Jetboil, things like that, that are supposedly better, but also I've seen that they're, like, bulkier and just...
Yeah.
They do the same thing. They take a gas source... And they provide heat. So that's all you need. Like, if you find a kit that takes gas and provides heat, or I love my solo stove. I have a solo stove on my back deck. They have the little solo stove. That's how they got their start, was the little canister thing that you put sticks in. You get the sticks on fire, and that's your heat source for cooking in the backcountry.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to carry gas and all that other stuff. That's how Solo Stove got their start. And then they're just like, well, shit, this is really nice for just fire.
This is one of those things where, in my normal life, I'm not necessarily like a label whore. And I don't so much care about name brand versus off brand. This is one of those things, though, where I want to buy one that I am as confident as I can be that it is going to work every time I want it to work.
Yeah.
And I understand things break and everything has like fail points and things like that. But like, I don't know if I would go and buy like a... Jetboil super knockoff, right? Like a super knockoff.
Right, yeah.
I don't know if I would trust it. I mean, you do what fits into your budget.
Right.
But my biggest concern is it going to work when I want it to work?
Well, on that note too, if that's what fits in your budget and you're going to buy an off-brand knockoff, whatever you want to call it, when you get it in the mail or get it home from the store, however you're purchasing this, hook it up, light it up, make sure it can handle heat and handle providing that heat. It probably takes us 10 minutes to boil
Oh, I doubt even boil. 10 minutes. I doubt
not even 10 minutes. So make sure it can last at least 5 to 10 minutes before it shuts off or melts or whatever.
Well, and because I'm just saying, I don't know how this stuff works, right? Like, I don't know how it's drawing the fuel out of the canister and making a flame regulating. Make sure it
just works, yeah.
But I would be afraid, like, it does have the one that we have and a jet boil and all the major ones. They do have like some sort of, I'm going to call it a regulator. I'm not sure if that's really what the correct term for it is, but like you can adjust the flame on it. I don't want something that's going to like, what if that mechanism broke, right? And all you're getting is this tiny little flame out of it. And now you can't boil water.
Or all it's doing is just spewing flame.
Or all it's doing is spewing an ungodly flame and not making it go where it wants to go. It's just like willy-nilly throwing flame out the sides of it.
Right.
Those are the concerns that I have with going too off-brand.
Yeah. No, well, and so when I said there are other models that are lighter and like things like that, I have seen videos of these people that have been backpacking for eons. And it's brands that I haven't ever heard of, and they're testing the one that we bought, the Coleman, against these other ones. And these things are like little tiny things. They like the sturdiness of the Coleman, but the other one packed up smaller. Like they had their pros and cons. If they're only going for a night, they'll use this one. You know, so
yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of options. I'll be honest. Like, I feel like ours packs up plenty small. I don't feel like I need it to be smaller than.
Well, I mean, you feel like that because I'm the one carrying it.
I'm carrying the pot. It packs up smaller than the pot does.
Fair enough. But I got the shovel. Anywho. We use a butane stove. There are other types of stoves out there. You can do a liquid stove and a alcohol stove.
Can I ask a dumb question?
Sure.
Because I genuinely don't know because you take care of all of this, so I've never had to look into it. So when you say butane, is that also referred to as camp stove fuel?
Not necessarily. Camp stove fuel, I think, is the wider category of the different fuel types.
Okay.
So, because I know my Coleman stove that I took
tent camping, glamping,
whatever. That was propane.
Okay.
And the stove we have is butane.
Okay.
No. Pretty sure it's butane. It might be propane, but I think it is butane. Liquid fuel, I guess that would be liquid propane, right? LP?
I don't know.
Low pressure?
Liquid propane. LP is liquid propane.
Yeah, so maybe that would be liquid fuels. And then alcohol stoves, they use
alcohol.
Denatured alcohol.
Which, who knows what that means? It's going out in nature. You would feel like you want the nature.
Simple design, but slower to cook.
Oh, I think it doesn't get as hot, right? Like, that's the thing with alcohol, is I don't think it gets as hot.
It's rubbing alcohol, basically, and you just set that on fire, and it just glows blue for a minute and goes out. Look at what date this came out on, and next episode we will tell you if it's propane or butane.
Well, I can probably Google it while we're talking.
I'm pretty sure it's butane, but it might be propane. So, but regardless, I mean, they sell these little I find them everywhere. I find them at Menards. We're in the Midwest, so we have Menards, but I'm sure they have them at Home Depot, Lowe's.
Yeah, you see them everywhere. I mean, they're that little canister. I mean, you know it when you see it. It's like a little.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a dome, but like a little dome thing with a little connector at the top of it, and then our stove connects right to it.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not going to say all. I'm going to say the majority of the name brand or aftermarkets, whatever, are going to have that connector for that stove. You're not going to have to buy an adapter or anything like that. It's going to connect right to that.
So this says that those canisters are a propane / isobutane mix. So it's butane, it's butane and propane. So you were half right.
I was arguing with myself about what it was, and it turns out it was both. So it's right. Both.
So yeah, so you were right. Yeah.
I'm going with that.
Okay.
So it's all it is a canister and liquid fuel mixture.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it would be considered canister because the propane at that point is not LP. Because LP is what's in your camper.
Well, it's for sure canister. So this is high pressure canister. Yeah, it's under pressure.
And it's high pressure.
Yeah. Hence the regulator on the stove that modifies the flame.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure I'm using that word right. I'm pretty sure it's the regulator.
I think you are. I'll Google that while you talk. No. So that's what we use for the cook stove. And I couldn't be happier. I really think that if this one were to fail, I would probably get another one.
I like it. I know.
It's sturdy. It's not too small. Like the nozzle on it to turn the heat up and down is the right size to where you're not burning your hands and like all that stuff.
I know that's on some of the other ones that I've seen, like that little nozzle to change it. It's like, it's a tiny little thing.
You almost need a screwdriver or pliers to like reach in there to turn.
Right. So yeah. I like the one that we have. I mean, they're again, not a sponsor, but like there's not much about ours that I don't like.
Right. It's a really good design. Could it be smaller? Yes, but you would sacrifice a lot of the stability and usability of it, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And then what do you know about solid fuel stoves? Do you know anything about solid fuel stoves?
That'd be like the Solo stove, the wood or the pellets or something like that.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Right. So, I mean, that's an option. I don't know. I guess it depends on if you believe that there will be fuel there. You know,
that's why you and I ended up with the Coleman. Was I was going to get the Solo stove because I was like, there's always sticks in the woods, right?
Right.
So I'm like, there will always be fuel. We don't have to make sure we always have fuel with us. But then you brought up the point, well, what if it's downpouring? Mm-hmm. What if it just downpoured, we get to camp and all we have is wet wood? Well, so that was before I looked into it a little bit further. I bought the Coleman. Happily, we bought the Coleman. They do make these little fire starter things for those Coleman or for those Solo stoves or whatever brand you want to get.
Okay, but then you're carrying fuel.
Well, you're carrying these little pucks, and then those are supposed to be able to catch anything on fire. Which sure. I don't know if I want to carry that in the woods anyway, because if it can catch anything on fire, it can catch the woods on fire.
I don't know. I like the setup that we have. I mean, if somebody has a good reason why you use a different type of stove, I'm all ears.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I'm all ears. By all means,
tell me. Like, is there something that I just don't get about it?
Right.
Because tell me. Like, I'm not one of these people that's like, oh, this is the only way to do it, right? Like, I mean, do what works for you, or if you have a success with something else that I haven't thought of. I mean, theoretically, you could probably boil water, just start a fire, right? Like, we've talked about a lot of the places we go have some sort of fire ring or fire pit or designated area for a fire. Theoretically. Yeah,
realistically, you could get a rock close enough to the fire and just set, or right in the fire and just put your pot right on that.
I mean, I don't feel like I'm rugged enough to do it that way, but if you are, good for you. Like,
I don't feel like the handle on the pot would stay as
I don't feel like handle. It would either. I think it introduces a whole host of problems. I don't feel like it'd be as sturdy. I feel like it would probably tip over,
burn the hell out of it.
Then you got smoke / fire residue on the outside of your pot that you got to clean off. I mean, but again, If you swear by a different method, tell me why. I'd love to hear it. Genuinely, I would love to hear it. Like, because most people that you and I see out on the trail use some sort of stove like we do.
Mm-hmm. Just to boil water.
Just to boil water. Tell me why there's a better alternative, and I'm all ears.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, tell me why there's a better alternative for the way that you do it. Like, we do what we do, and if you bring up a point of, like, this is what I do and this is why I do it, then we're all ears for that. And maybe that would give us an idea to, like, be like, oh, I didn't even think about doing it that way, or having that kind of a meal, or whatever. So we're all ears with any of your ideas and what you do. We love hearing about it.
So yeah, so that's like cook stoves. The other thing that I wanted to mention, which I feel like fits in this category, you and I don't have, but I'll be honest with you, I look at them every time we're at a camp store, like REI or any of those stores. I don't have a mess kit, but I feel like I want a mess kit. I have absolutely
You're eating out of a bag.
I know. So I have no need for one.
Right.
But I feel like I want a mess kit for some reason. For anybody that doesn't know what a mess kit is, it's like the little pan, plate, knife, fork, spoon combo, military-related thing that all collapses together and nests inside each other. I've always loved them since I was a kid. My dad had one when I was younger, and I've always thought it was like the coolest thing, how the pot folds out and the plate fits in there. We have no need for one.
You have a quasi mess kit because yours has little cups that fit in it.
I know.
Got the little lid. Like, I know.
It's another thing to clean. Like, okay, so I'm making mac and cheese in my bag. Like, what am I going to do? Pour it out onto a plate and eat it off the plate? And then I got to clean the plate and all the things because I'm bougie. Right. I mean, the whole concept is dumb, but I feel like I want one.
All right. But sell your camper and we'll go back to tent camping, and then you can get a mess kit.
But I do think if you're making a real meal in this pot or pan,
yeah,
I think a mess kit's a good way to go.
No, absolutely.
So,
and I feel like the mess kit would fit in with that. Well, the mess kit has the pot or pan, so
it has the pan to cook in.
So
you know, again, what are you cooking? That's
right.
We're not cooking that type of meal, but if you are cooking that type of meal, maybe skip the Stanley pot we talked about. Maybe get a mess kit instead.
Well, I'm sure Stanley makes a mess kit.
Well, they probably do.
Probably. Not a sponsor, Stanley.
Stanley, reach out and let us know if you do.
We will try it.
SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out.
Right. So, but that's all I have. That's what we use. That is what we could use. I mean, I'm still kind of, every time I see those damn solo stoves, I want to get one. So
I guess the only other thing maybe I'll mention, and this is, it's very adjacent to this conversation, so I don't want to say a lot about it, but we've talked about we make coffee before. There are mugs and stuff you can get to bring with you. Something to drink out of, right?
Oh, yeah, I didn't think to mention that. Well,
mentioned it because, like, our cups fit in our Stanley thing.
Yeah.
If you're not getting one that comes with cups, there are cups and stuff you can get if you're the type of person that wants to make, like, instant coffee or whatever out on the trail. Very not required, right? Like, because most times you're going to have a water bottle of some sort to drink out of for your water and stuff. But if you want tea or coffee or something like that out on the trail,
right,
they do make lightweight aluminum cups that you can take. We happen to get the kit that we talked about from Stanley that has two cups that nest right inside it.
Yeah, and I love that you carry that around for us.
Thanks, appreciate that, Mike.
I guess at this point we're going to say, as always, you can let us know if you like, you do this. You do it so much better.
You struggle every time.
I do.
If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about anything we've said on this episode or any of our episodes, you can reach us at SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at SeanMikeHike. Please rate and review and subscribe anywhere you're listening to this. If there's an episode that particularly helped you, feel free to share that with a friend. That really does help get the word out about this. And aside from that, Mike, go take a hike.
I was going to say that.
Okay.
All of that, I was going to say that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Well, go take a hike. We'll see you in a couple
weeks. We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.